Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. Tonight we've got a very good program planned for you. The topic tonight going to be when asked to participate, you know, on a spiritual program, are you saying no to God with your talents or gifts? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be joined by several of my co-hosts, which will be tuning in this evening. If you are dialing in and we can't see your number and you're desiring to participate, if we can't see your number, you're not lined up in the queue. So what you may want to do is, because if you blocked it from us seeing your number, we will not go to that number. So if you desire to participate, then you will want to dial in so that we can see the number, because we don't know who's calling in, and we don't entertain anything that could possibly be vogue over the airwaves. All right, tonight we've got a very promising show for you, and we do. I'm not sure if it's one of my co-hosts that has these numbers up here, but it's not allowing us to see the numbers. We do know that we have Ms. J on. We can see that, and we also have Ms. B. All right, very good. So that party will more than likely call back in from a different number. All right, and then we have Sir Ben that's going to be joining us. Let's go now and bring in Ms. J. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday, and I hope everyone had a great day today.
Oh, excellent. All right, let's go ahead and bring in Ms. B, Marie B. Thank you for joining us this evening. We certainly missed you on last night's program, and I trust it all is well. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hello. Good evening, everybody. I hope everyone is having a great Friday. So good to be here.
Excellent. And let's go ahead and bring in Sir Ben tonight. Sir Ben, it's always a pleasure to have you here on our shows, and thank you for joining us as well.
Good evening. It is a great Friday evening. The weather's beautiful, the sky's beautiful, and all you out there are beautiful. It's a pleasure to be in the company of such wonderful people.
All right. Lady C will not be joining us tonight. She called me within the hour, and she's asking for a special prayer. Her nephew was involved in a serious accident this evening, and she was a little distraught by that, understandably distraught. And so she's going to be asking for our prayers this evening for him. It's from what she was telling me, it sounds rather serious. So we're going to pause a moment and... As always, we like to invite God into our broadcast, so we're going to pray, and we're going to spell a special prayer for her nephew. Father, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you bestow upon us on a daily basis. And now, Lord, as we engage into tonight's programming, we ask that you would intervene and bring inspiration and motivation. Help us to leave here better and more knowledgeable than once we've come. And Lord, we're praying a special prayer right now Lady C's nephew, of course, who was involved in the accident today. And we're also praying for her brother-in-law, her sister whose son was in the accident, and the same sister whose husband is in the hospital with heart complications. So we're praying for both of them because we know that you are almighty. And the fact that their lives are spared means that there is hope. And we pray that you would grant them that. And these another and return her to the show with good news when she does come back with us. These another blessings. We thank you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, we want to thank you all for being here tonight. Tonight is a very deep question. You know, when you're asked to participate, someone, let's say a women's ministry person asks, B. Marie, we're going to start with you, and say the women's ministry director asks you from your church, and let's say that you have a talent to sing. And she says, "Well, Sister Belinda, would you mind singing for us on the third week, you know, on the third week for our special music?" And you know that you have this talent. Everyone knows that you have this talent. Would you be open to telling her yes, or would you be inclined to telling her no? And then while you're thinking about that, then I want to go to Miss J and Sir Ben. I want to ask you all these questions. How do you define gifts and talent? Gifts and talent. So, B. Marie, I want to bring you in to address that. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I remember a time now in my life I would say yes. I remember a time where I would say no, and it was more or less because of my own fears. Sometimes, you know, we don't always commit to saying yes to something because we're a little fearful. We may not be as confident in our gift as we would like to be. So that's one of the reasons why sometimes if we have a talent, we may say no. But at this time, I would say yes. If my schedule's clear and it's possible, I would do it.
All right. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to the phone lines early. I want to make certain that we're not missing out on one of our co-hosts. 470-585, who do we have on that line with us?
That would be Lynn Mitchell.
I'm sorry?
Lynn Mitchell.
Oh, Lynn Mitchell, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and we're certainly hoping that you will join in our conversation this evening. So we're going to ask you to stand by. B. Marie, let me go to you first. What is a talent and or a gift? Are they the same? And of course, we're not talking about somebody gives you a gift, you know, like, a handbag for Christmas. A gift or a talent, are they one and the same?
You know, I've never really thought about it. You know, I used to feel like they were one. I feel like they're one and the same. But I'll say if I could define it, I would say that the gift is something, you know, it's been given to you. It's not something that you have to try to do. You just had this tacit knowledge. You just know how to do it. And I think when it comes to perfecting our gift, I think that's really what's important, you know. If you have it, you want to work at it. And I just think that when we work at it, then it can be even greater. But I kind of see them as one and the same.
One and the same. All right, Ms. J, what do you think? Are they one and the same?
No, they're. I think they're separate. Me, a gift or your spiritual gift, God-given gift, that it comes natural to you. It just, for instance, to have a beautiful voice when you are born and it just comes out in the beginning of birth, that's natural. You're not trained. If you can sing well, but if it took you training to get to that point, that's a talent. I mean, that's not a gift. So gift, you're born with it. Talents, you're trained. It's learned. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, even being a good in sports, sometimes that's a gift. But if you are okay, but as you train and got better, it wasn't a gift for you. It was a talent. So versus being born with it and trained, that's the difference to me.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. That's a very interesting perspective, the way that you put that, in terms of the talent. If it seems, and I'll bring the word natural in, if it seems that your skills or your ability to do something appears to be very natural, then perhaps, if I'm hearing you correct, that's the gift. So natural gift. And so if it's a talent, it's something that you may have acquired. So even though if a person didn't think that they could sing, but they take singing lessons and they do, like you said, Michelle, I'm bringing in here, okay, then it's an acquired talent. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in, and we're going to go to phone lines in a moment. But Sir Ben, I want to bring you in and with this perspective. So the question becomes, where do the gifts come from? If it's a natural gift, if we can accept that definition, then where do the gifts come from and where do the talents come from if they're not one and the same? And if you all want to speak to the issue tonight, please press 1. I would love to hear from you all.
Well, everything who we are comes from God. It doesn't really have a perspective on whether or not you developed it, trained it. God still gave it to you. Sometimes he gives us stuff that sits dormant for a little bit until he decides he wants to activate it or he wants it activated in us. So all our gifts, everything comes from him. The beginning of life came from him. The Ruach, the breath of life started with us. Before we were just a body that was just existing until he actually gave us the Ruach, the breath of life. It became a living being. So everything that we know is a gifting from God.
Okay, so if that's
including our talent.
Right. Okay, so if that's the case, Sir Ben, and we've got a lot to cover tonight, you all. So if that's the case, if God gave us our talents and our gifts, could they be interchangeable? And if that's the case, so if God gave you the talent, so I'm not a singer, and I get out here and I say, well, if I'm about to speak before an audience that's expecting me to speak only, I get up there and I start singing as my icebreaker, and the people now want their money back because it was so horrible. So, Sir Ben, are you telling me that God may have not activated that talent, but he gave me the talent to sing? It's just a matter of me maybe working on it? What am I hearing?
Well, you decided to activate that. That didn't mean, I mean, the question has to become, you have to know what your purpose is and you have to know what your gifting is. And so if you're operating outside of your gifting, then obviously God has not perfected that in your life. But if you stay in the gifting that he's perfected, he will show you all the things that you need to know, and he will position you in a place where your gifting will be remembered. Everything we do is supposed to edify God. So if your gifting is edifying yourself, then that's different. That's not the same. That's just utilizing a talent. And remember, if the anointing of your gifting is lifted off you, then you're just dry bones.
All right. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Lynn, I want to bring you in. So, I mean, it almost sounds like then according to what we're hearing, my understanding, my interpretation of what's being said tonight, then maybe God didn't give us that talent. Maybe he didn't give us that talent. Maybe we worked on that talent. But maybe my talent is something, my gift is something else. And I like what Miss J was saying. So, Lynn, how do you view this? Is it a gift? Because I got up there and I tried to sing, and the people now were so turned off because what they wanted to hear me do was to speak. And I was going to speak afterwards. But they decided they want their monies back because my singing talent just wasn't there. So what happens with that?
Well, your talent is something, okay, we all have talent. We all have a talent or several talents depending on who we are, and it's something between genetics and something that we work at, we're able to perfect and build upon, whereas your gift is something that you receive from the Holy Spirit once you come into a relationship with Christ to be able to use in ministry. And both you can use in ministry, but I think they're kind of different. I don't believe they're one and the same. And so talent, if your talent was speaking and you were invited to speak, but you got up and sang, but your talent is not singing, them wanting their money back kind of makes sense, only because that's not what they came to hear, and unfortunately, you're not talented in singing. You're talented in speaking. If it's something you have been working on and then want to, like, develop and take, voice lessons in that, that's something you may or may not end up being a talent for you. It may just not be your talent. So knowing what your talent is important to be able to use it.
All right, so Lynn,
in that situation, I would not have sung. I would have just spoken.
All right, so we're going somewhere with this, you all, and just stay with me if you would. So Lynn, if you're a good friend of mine, and not everybody is genuinely honest or genuine, and I tell you, I got to speak before this group of 10,000 people, and I got to speak on mental health. And I'm really nervous because it's the first time I've done that particular, speech on mental health. And so I usually try to use an icebreaker, and I say, you think I should sing? And I sing a couple of notes for you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And you tell me, and I say, well, how does that sound? You say, that was pretty good. I think you can do it. So, Lynn, if you're my friend, just that encouraging and citing that encouragement that you just gave me from that, now I'm going out there on stage, and now when the people are getting up, walking out, wanting their money back and booing me, I'm thinking about you because you told me I sounded pretty good. So could it be, Lynn, that sometimes people are not honest with us and we take what they say and think that we can do something when, in fact, that's not our talent, that's not our gift? So why did you tell me that?
That's a good point. I think we should wisely choose our friends, those who are not going to tell us things that we want to hear, but things that are truthful and honest. And again, knowing what our talent is, knowing what our gifts are, is important in order to activate them and to use them to the best
okay.
of
I've heard
our
that.
Ability.
So now, when I hit those notes a little while ago, and I'm going to be, I should be honest, without preconceived thought, did that sound okay to you?
To me personally?
Yes.
The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you were praising the Lord to the best of your ability, whether or not that was something that you want to.
Why can't people, sometimes lawyers are always asking the question, why can't people answer the question? Ms. J, we're going to stand by Lynn. Ms. J, let me bring you in. Ms. J, did you hear me hit those, did I hit the notes? I mean, how did that sound to you? Without any preconceived thoughts.
I definitely heard y'all would say, you know what? I think I made a mistake. We're going to let you just talk. That did not sound good. I'm sorry.
See that? See? Okay, let me go. Let me bring in. B. Marie, let me bring you in. B. Marie, when I hit those notes, how did that sound to you? Honestly, no preconceived thoughts from the conversation we're having. How did it sound?
It sounded like you were trying a little bit too hard. I think that, you may enjoy singing at home, but I don't think it's your profession.
Wow. Sir Ben, you're a man. You understand. These women have hurt my friends. Can you help me out here? Give me a little therapy. I mean, make me feel a little better.
Man, I think you did great. Just
thank you.
Keep on doing
thank
what you
do very much. But you wanted to say, what's the other part of that? Don't, you know, sing in public? What were you going to say?
If you want to keep getting your money, don't sing in front of your colleagues.
Okay. All right. See, you broke it down. See, the way that you broke that down to me, it was gentle. You know, I mean, you hear Miss J coming on there, you know, and the other ladies. You know what? Let's go to the phone line. We're talking, if you're just
joining
us. When asked to participate on the spiritual program, are you saying no to God with your talent and your gifts? Huh, this is interesting tonight. Let's go to Tallahassee, 850-212. Who do we have and welcome? 5580, who do we have?
Hi, this is Willette. This is Willette. I probably hit it by mistake, but hi and welcome. I'm happy to be on the show.
Thank you. Willette, we're hearing that our gifts come from God. We're hearing that our gifts come from God. So do you agree with that?
I agree.
Do you think that our talents also come from God?
I agree. I think that our gifts and talents come from God. I think that we work on our talents and our gifts are given to us, and they are enhanced over time because we work on both gifts
and
talents.
All right, so did you hear me hit those notes earlier, Willette? And I'm just asking here because I really would like, you know, I may need therapy. How did it sound to you?
Absolutely awful.
You say awesome or awful?
Awful, and you should stick to talking and speaking and teaching and doing what you
really
do best, not singing.
All right, well, let me try another note. Let me just try another note for a second.
No,
I mean, you know, I was watching on that because I was nervous. So let me just try another one. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams are filled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Now, how did that sound, Willette?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That was better, but I could tell you trying really hard, really, really hard.
Okay. So, could I go on that one? You think the people would want their money back?
I think they will give you a chance. I think they'll give you a chance.
All right. We're going to ask you this.
They won't pay for that.
They won't pay for that. Okay. We're going to ask you this. All right, let's go to phone lines once again. Let's go to South Florida, 305-684. Who do we have, and welcome to tonight's spiritual show?
Hey, this is Corey. How are you, Doc?
Corey, thank you for joining us. Corey, do you think that we have talents and gifts, that they both come from God? And if someone were to ask you to do something with a natural gift that you have, if you were to say no, are you saying no to that person, or are you really saying no to God?
Well, it depends on what they're asking me to do. If it's within my range of...
If you have a talent to speak, and they ask you, would you just give a mini sermon, a sermonette? And you're like, you know that you're real good. I mean, because you can get the audience attention. So when you decide that, because you're having a bad day, let's say with your wife or whatever, and somebody asks you and you're like, no, I'm not doing that. And you know what? These people don't have $5,000, you know, to speak. Are you saying no to that person, or are you saying no to God?
So I think I'm saying no to that person because it's what's going on with me at that time. It's not saying no to God because God has given me this talent to use, but at that particular time that they're asking me to speak, something's going on with me and I can get up there and I could really mess up the speech or, you know, the lecture.
All right, because something's going on with you. I get that, Corey. We're going to ask you to stand by. I want to bring in Sir Ben just for a second. Sir Ben, I want to ask you, so do we have to have a convenient time that it's got to be, it almost seems like it makes it about us when somebody is asked, because I'm going through this thing now with my wife, and all of a sudden somebody asks me to speak, and that's my gift. And it's like, you know what, she done got on my last nerve, and the phone rings, and somebody asks, she says, well, here, it's for you. And we've just had this big argument, and now it's like, I don't feel like being bothered, first of all. And then they, you know, they call the church clerk and says, we look for a speaker, and we'd like you to speak. And because I'm in my feelings right now, no, I don't want to speak. So am I saying no to God or that person because it's not, I'm not feeling it right now, even though they don't want me to speak for another month?
I think you were not using good wisdom. If God has given you a gift, and that gift is supposed to be used to edify and lift him up, and just because your feelings, that's not predicated to what your gifting is. Your gifting was given to you to be used. And so if you were using sound wisdom and you were operating in a sound mind, you wouldn't let your feelings and your emotions dictate your gifting, which has been given to you by the person that created you. So I think you should have considered it. I don't think you should have said no. You should have said, can I just say yes for now, but I need to get back with you in another couple of days to confirm, because you're not saying no to the person, you're saying no to God. God has given you that gift, and those people are coming to you because they know you're gifted at what you have. So yes, you were saying no to God because you were operating in your feelings and your emotions. You were not operating in obedience to what was given to you.
We're going to ask you to stand by on that one, Sir Ben. And I want to go back to B. Marie, then I want to go to Lynn. B. Marie, let's start with you. So if that's the case, should we ever say no when we have a gift? I mean, let's take this here, because now the wife has got on my nerves, and, I mean, my emotions are distraught. And, I mean, it's like I don't feel like being bothered with nobody right now. And so you're asking me to speak. I'm upset. And then my excuse is I'm only human. I'm not a god. I'm not, an angel, even though my mother used to call me angel boy. But I'm not an angel. And so now, you know, what do I do with that, B. Marie? What do I do with that? Do you agree with Sir Ben that we're saying no to God?
No, I don't think that we're saying no to God. One, I feel like we have to understand that there are going to be times where we have to say no, where we have to turn certain opportunities down. And if I'm in a state of mind where I can't bring my very best to it, then it's better for me to say, you know, at this time, I won't be able to, but let's look at another date. Let's look at a different time. There are times where we press through and we do it. And then there are just those moments where you have to say no. And I don't believe in saying no to God. To me, saying no to God is I don't want to serve you anymore. I don't want to be a believer anymore. I'm refusing to live a life of a believer. But if there's certain opportunities that come along and you happen to turn it down, I believe there's going to be other opportunities. You know,
well,
God is not a God that's ready to, God is not a God ready to beat us down every time we don't say yes to everything. That's not who he is. He knows and understands that there are just those moments. So, you know.
Well, I tend to, and this is just my opinion, and we respect all opinions, I tend to think that we are saying no to God. That's just my opinion. Because, you know, we make it, it's almost like, you know, everything is about God's will, his purpose. You know, his purpose
mm-hmm.
is not necessarily about us or our convenient time. So, you know, because we're in mm-hmm. our feelings, like my wife upset me. I'm in my feelings right now. I'm in my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, chances are, you know, I'm supposed to not let the sun set on my wrath, but this lady has actually gotten on my last nerve. And so it's
mm-hmm.
like taking that out on, it's like, God, you know, you've given me this gift. People ask me to speak. But I'm not even finding it in my heart right now to forgive this woman for calling me a big head or whatever she did. So let me go just for a second. Willie, I want to bring you. No, Miss J, we're going to go to you first, then we'll come back to, I think we said Lynn, but let me go to Miss J first. So Miss J, looking at it that way, is it about me because I'm in my feelings? even though the person has asked you to speak a month from now. I clearly believe that's saying no to God. And in circumstances, you know, there are extenuating circumstances, if my calendar is available, then, I mean, it's not going to be, like, extraordinary where it's out of the way. Talk to me, Ms. J, and then, Lynn, we're going to bring you in. Same question. Then we'll go to Willette.
Well, I think if a person's not sure right at that moment, not to say no, just say, let me get back with you, especially if you, you know, feeling some kind of way, just say, let me get back with you, and you pray on it. If you're going through something with your wife or you feel you might not be a good fit for that program or whatever, but if you continuously, every time someone asks you to do something in a spiritual whatever, and you've been given the spiritual gift of praying and singing and all that, and you continuously say no, I think you're saying no to God then, you know.
Okay.
But, I mean, one example I was thinking about, you know, they may have a big congregation of 2,000 and 3,000 people, and you're used to praying with you and your God. You never prayed in front of a whole lot of people like that. And they ask you to give the prayer for these 3,000 people. You know, this is your first time giving to a multitude of people like that. And I wouldn't say no. I just said, let me pray on this. Let me get back with you, you know. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you just have to get back with the person. Don't say no, but don't always say no because you don't have your self-confidence in your gifts. And because just like God gave you these gifts, God do not take them away from you. I know he don't. He don't do that. But
oh,
you
are you Ms. Jane?
Huh?
Are you serious, Ms. Jane?
God do not take your gifts away from you. But
you don't think God takes them away?
No, he don't just take them away, but say you was a singer. Your voice is going to get bad at some point. He's not going to take them away for you because if you don't use a certain thing, it goes down. It goes down, you know.
Well,
God gave it to
I
you
believe
to
God
you.
Can take it away. From, that's just my opinion.
That's
and,
my opinion.
But we're actually, I do believe God will take them away from you. If you're not doing something to fulfill his purpose, then he'll take it from you. That's just my opinion now. But let me go to Lynn. Lynn, I want to bring you in. I do want to bring you in, and we'll go to the phone lines in just a second. Lynn, do you see, you know, that God can take a gift away from you if you're not going to use it? I mean, God's purpose, if he calls a person for a certain thing, like Jonah. Jonah was running. And by the time God finished with him in that well, Jonah was running to do what God told him to do. Okay, what do you say, Lynn?
In that situation, yeah, God can put you in a situation where you realize, okay, I either use this gift for him or it can be taken away. I do believe he can take it away. Whether he always does is the question. But like the young lady was saying before, I think that if we don't use, especially talent, if you don't use your talent, you can lose it. And I don't know that it's God that necessarily takes it away. It just, after time, it is no longer as effective or it's no longer as useful because you didn't put it into practice or put it into use. Going back to your scenario about whether or not we're saying no to God or not, I like the answer about prayer. So when we're asked to do something, the first thing we should do is pray about it to know, God, is this from you? Are you sending me to do this? And once we have that conviction, if we then say no, we are now saying no to God. But there are times when our schedule won't allow. There's times when we won't be a good fit for that event. Maybe it's an event that's not in our, you know, same realm of belief or same whatever, and it's not a place that God needs us to be. So us asking God, is this something I should be doing? Because not everything that somebody slaps the word ministry on is truly a ministry. So asking God, is this where you would have me be? Is this something you would have me do? And then, you know, getting the answer from him and then going forward. So I like the answer of, you know, can I get back to you? That way we're prudent, that way we're thoughtful, and we're not in haste, but definitely always saying no can lead to losing that talent or gift.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. I want to go to Corey. I want to bring you in here and ask you the question. So now we've got this gift. I'm in my feelings, and all of a sudden now I'm thinking that sometimes when people say, well, let me pray about that and get back with you, to me sometimes, and I've experienced this, almost like people are finding an excuse to say no. I mean, if they don't get back with you within a reasonable time, then it's like, I mean, you feel almost like you're bothering them. If I got to call you 3 days later, you know, you haven't told me when I can get back with or when you're going to get back with me. Corey, let me ask you, do you think that sometimes people use that as an excuse?
Yeah, I do think they use that as an excuse. They use that as an excuse a lot of times to get out of things. But let me ask you this. If you pray on whatever God is, whatever somebody's asking you to, okay, somebody's asking you to preach a sermon, and and right now you're going through stuff at home and, you know, issues, whatever, and you don't feel like you can do it. And you say, okay, let me pray on it and I'll get back to you. Now, you get back to that person and say, well, you know, I don't think I can do it. Now, did God just tell you you weren't able to do that, or are you telling the person you just don't want to do it?
I think that could be an excuse, because if you know you have, this is just my opinion, you all, if you have that talent and you really want to, every opportunity is an opportunity to promote the word of God to someone, that one person out there may need that word from you, that God has impressed upon your heart to speak, and the person who he called upon, that person that he called upon to call. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That person who he called upon to call you, to ask you, may feel that you're the person that might be the one that can inspire this person, because they can sometimes have a family member that they want to hear you, and they say, this guy really, or this lady really gave an impactful message, and I really want my relative to hear this message. I've been in situations like that before. Corey, we're going to ask you to stand by because we're getting some noise in your area. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 407-862. Who do we have with us? And thank you for joining us, and thank you for your patience.
Hi, Dr. Jesse. It's Sister Marva. I'm really grateful to be able to come this evening.
Sister Marva, thank you for joining us. Sister Marva, let me ask you, do you think sometimes when people have a talent, and I really want to find what your thoughts are on this, when they say, I'm going to pray about it, I hear that so often, and people don't even get back with you. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. How about when somebody is going to look for a job, Sister Marvin, they say, you know what, I've been praying about this job, and then they go to that job and they don't get that job. But, you know, but they're looking for work. It's something to enrich or enhance their life. But when they're asked to do something for God, then they're saying, I'm going to pray about it. And they don't get back with you. Do you think sometimes, like Corey said, people do use that as an excuse?
Absolutely. Yes. I do believe that people will use that as an excuse. And the other side of that is that that person is probably not as connected with God as they should be, because they would feel the vibe, or they would feel the need from the Spirit to do it. And if they don't, and they're saying, I'll get back with you, I'll get back with you, they're not really, you know, into it. And there's another question you asked, will God take away your talent if you're not using it for him? I can only think of Samson, and when he was so strong, and God made him that strong because he was a judge at the time, and he allowed Delilah to soothe him into sleep and tell her his secret, and they cut off his hair and he became so weak, and he never got his strength back until he went under the columns and shook it and killed all those 3,000 people with himself. So It depends, because I also know someone who sings.
But before
very,
you go to that next part about the story of Samson's father, he, Delilah, we know, was trying to deceive him, and he told her three times different stories. And then finally, when she put the words out there, if you love me, you will tell me. And that's when he told her. And so even though those Philistines came upon him, and they, you know, they, she had cut his, they, the person came in and cut his hair off, and he did not have the strength anymore. But now we're talking about, would God take the talent? Now I want us to think about this. It was a period of time that Moses was incarcerated or imprisoned that his hair started to grow back. His hair started to grow back. And so he asked this young man, you know, they were having a feast or something, and he asked him to take him to where these columns were and place him between the pillars, pull the place up. But during that time, the people didn't realize, but Samson's hair started to grow back. So as such, this was returning. So if we're going to look at that scenario, did God take it and did God give it back? Because he asked for God for the strength again. So speak to that just briefly, Sister Marva. He sure did. He asked God for it again, that he would perish with these people in there, and he killed over 3,000 people.
That's right. That's right. So God can take away a talent. But also, I know that I know someone who sings very, very well and is always singing in church and ended up with throat cancer. What do you say about that? Throat cancer, you know? And I came to tears and I told him, I said, if you never sing again, just know that God blessed you with a very beautiful voice, because he could sing. He had a really nice tenor voice. So, what was that? I don't know.
Well,
I know
I'm
that
sure
you can
many
take
of us
it back,
have
and you can
actually,
give it back.
We're going to actually stand by. We're going to take a small break. We're going to go to one of our sponsors, who happens to be her birthday today. So we want to wish Sister Marjorie a happy birthday, and she's one of our sponsors. Marjorie, happy birthday to you, and give us your commercial quickly, please.
Yes, hi. Good evening, Dr. Walker. Thank you for my birthday wishes. And good evening, all everyone on the show, all the co-hosts and everyone. Yes, my name is Marjorie Cross, and I'm in one of the most leading companies in the world called one of the most leading companies in the world, and we have some products that can help you with any medical condition. It may help you with any medical condition. And we have some awesome products. And my website is www.isagenix.sisterlove.com/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. Just to repeat it, www.isagenix.sisterlove.com/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. And you could or you could ask the Dr. Brown. And when you tell someone, just tell them you heard it on the Dr. Jesse Walker show. God bless you all, and I thank you for my birthday wishes.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you.
You're
just to update you all, I just received a text message just now. Lady C just sent me, I just want to tell you the prayers are working. My nephew got his vision back. He wasn't able to see. He got his vision back. He's still in the hospital, but he can see. So praise God for that. You know, having she called in because she knows that We do a miracle prayer day once a month. Every other Saturday, we have either Divine Intervention Day, International Divine Intervention Day, and then we have two weeks after that, a miracle prayer day. God is working miracles, and I'm seeing them every single day through prayer. So if you all want to be a part of that, you can certainly reach out to me or one of my co-hosts or Ms. Woodbury. But praise God for that update, for that report. All right, I want to go ahead now. If you just joined us, when asked to participate, are you saying no to God with your talents or gifts? Lynn, I want to bring you back. Sir Ben, let's go to you first. Sir Ben, do you think it's possible you want something from God? You want something from God. You want this job, this ideal job. It's the desires of your heart. And you're praying, but people are asking you to do something on a spiritual note for God. Do you think that people sometimes put things on hold for God because they're going after what it is they want?
Yes. That happens probably more than we would probably want to admit. But yes. You know, man has his own desires. It even talks about how man's desire shall overrule that which has rule over him. So, you know, people will even use God for their own personal preference to get ahead, to get forward, to promote themselves. That's just the human nature. That's the part of us that we don't like to really talk about, but it exists.
Right. Okay, so we're going to ask you to stand by. And I want to go here now, and I want to bring in, B. Marie is going to be joining us in just a second. We're getting some technical difficulty on her end. Let me go back to Corey just for a moment. Corey, we're going to bring you back in, and I want to ask a question. When we talk about convenience, I believe that we as human beings are selfish because we basically think of ourselves, and maybe that's not all our fault because people are always talking about, I got to look out for me and my own. So when we have that kind of attitude, are we really operating within how God expects us to operate, even with our talent? Well, why should I sing or why should I speak unless I can demand a certain amount of money?
No, absolutely not. That's not God's plan for us. God wants us to do. He wants us to put his word out, introduce him to new people or new people to him, and do his will. So, no, God would not have us do anything like that.
All right, Corey, we're going to ask you.
The world is cruel, and it is about self these days.
It is. And some of that is not all our fault because, Abraham Maslow, who was identified as the father of modern psychology, he has this self-actualization chart. And he says, first step is to look out for yourself. The first step to thine own self be true. So, that has a lot to do with things. So we're always looking at these self-help books and says, you better look out for yourself. Put your mask on first when you're on that plane before you can help somebody else. So it's not always a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. So because if you can't have oxygen and you're on that plane and you need oxygen, how can you help anybody else? You're going to faint.
Yeah, but that's
so
a different
we're gonna
scenario,
ask you. Yeah, we're going to let me go back to, let's bring in B. Marie now. B. Marie, and we're going to ask you to stand by, Corey, and others of you all as well. And B. Marie, the question becomes, is it wrong to look out for ourselves and our talents and our gifts and do what we want to do as opposed to what we think necessarily somebody else might want us to do? And then they put the guilt on us and say, well, you're not saying no to me. You're saying no to God. What do you think, B. Marie?
I think that it's important for us to, you know, always be prayerful and then understand that we have to set boundaries. I'm one that had to learn that there are times where I want to do everything and be everywhere for everybody, and we cannot do that. We are no good when we are super stressed thin, and we have to learn how to set boundaries in our lives, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. When you study the book of Proverbs, it gives you all types of keys to life, and there are keys to rest. There are keys to making choices, making wise decisions. So we have to learn how to make those choices and make good, healthy choices for ourselves. Yes, use your gifts for God. Serve the Lord with all that you have. But even Jesus had to rest. We all need to rest. We all have to know what our boundaries are. And I am in a place in my life where I don't let people manipulate me. And you have to be so careful about that, because people will do that because they have, and you're talking about, you know, yourself, because they have their own self-interest. So you do
right.
have to make sure that, you know, you choose wisely about who you connect with and what you say yes to.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Willette, are you still with us? I want to ask you a quick question here. Willette, are you there? Or perhaps
yes,
well,
yes,
let's just quick. I want to ask this question. What if, let's say a person's not feeling well, and you're not feeling well. It could be emotional. It could be physical. It could be anything. You know, you can have a cold, really a bad cold. And someone says, well, we want you to participate on the Women's Day program. It's in 2 months. Should you make that commitment at that time, knowing that you're not feeling well, and you've had this chronic cough for the last month already? Is that a time that you're right saying, you know, because I've been thinking that, okay, this is just me. When people are saying, let me pray on this, that's, to me, that's an outlet for an excuse. But, and of course, that's just me now. But if you're not feeling well, do you commit with that? Or do you really say, well, do you tell them, well, I've had this chronic cough? Do you go into an explanation? What do you do?
Well, honestly, what I do, I first always thank whoever's asking me to do something. I thank them for the opportunity, and I thank them for thinking of me for that opportunity. But I always tell them to allow me some time to think on it, and then get back with them, because I am going to pray about it. And then once I'm done talking to God about the opportunity, then I get back with them, which is normally, you know, a quick turnaround. And whether I'm feeling good or not good at that time, it has nothing to do with my assignment from God, because if it's an assignment from God, he's going to tell me that this is something I have assigned you to. And if he has assigned me to it, he's going to equip me to do it. So it doesn't matter how I'm feeling today. If the assignment is for next week, God is going to equip me to be well to do it. So I don't ever worry about how I'm going to feel for future engagement.
That is a very interesting point. And I'm thinking along the same lines. If in fact, God, I'm just thinking here now, I'm thinking God would probably expedite the healing process because it may sent you with a testimony. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by, Willette. Let's go to Sir Ben. Let's bring you in. And I want to look at this particular question here and say, well, you know what? How do you know if it's of God? One of our callers said earlier, you know, you got to know, and I think it would be Marie, you got to know if that person, if it's God asking you to do it, or if it's that person for their own convenience. In your opinion, how do you know, Sir Ben, whether it's of God, or it's just that person trying to fill the program?
First of all, God talks to all of us. Now, not all of us hear God because we have allowed so much chaos and clutter to be a part of our daily walk and our daily routine. We don't spend enough time in actual conversation with God. We don't spend enough time in prayer with God. So therefore, it's a lot harder for some of us to hear God's voice. So we have to have intercessors to come in and help us with that. And so I would encourage everyone to spend some quiet time just being able to talk to the Father about everything. And the more you talk to him, the clearer his voice becomes. The more you interact with him, the more you recognize the voice. There's always been a situation when you have, like I have children. And I not only, I have people that have known me for many years. I can walk into a room and someone can hear me talking. And they say, oh, that's been because my voice, they know my voice because we've had lots of time and conversations together. Even when I'm listening to you on the radio show, I know your voice. I know the co-host's voice. If I heard that voice again, I'd be able to distinguish who it is because of my interaction and my consistency with my relationship. So if you have a consistent relationship with God, you'll have a consistent response that you can hear him. If you can't hear him, then ask that he send someone that you can hear from in the physical form. So that can be that whatever you're needing, the wisdom, the help, whatever you need, can still be manifest in your life. Because he doesn't want to deny any of us the ability to get what he wants to get to you. And remember, that is his only goal. He loves us. So he wants to give us the best. Any father wants to give his children the best. He never wants to shortchange them. If he has to go 50,000 miles out of the way to make sure that child is okay, then that's what he'll do.
All right, that's a very interesting point. listen, you know, Sir Ben, you said that God speaks to all of us. Okay, and that speaking to all of us, that's interesting. And the question becomes, does God really speak to all of us? Now, here's where I'm going with that. The Bible tells us that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. They spoke against Moses, and you can go and check this out for yourself. Just go to Numbers 12 and look at Numbers 12, verses 1 through 10. Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses and because they got to wondering, well, why is God just speaking to Moses? And they criticized the fact that he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they were like, well, if God speaks to Moses, he can speak to us. And then God heard that, and he was not pleased about that. And he called all three of them out, and he said, and I want you to go and look at, I want you to read it for yourself so that you can see it and see what God had to say about that. And you go to Numbers 12:6, and you'll see what he had to say about that. And just read that chapter, Numbers 12. And so the question becomes, does God really speak all of us? He does, I believe, in a certain way. But then if that was the case, why didn't he speak to all the children of Israel? Why didn't he speak to all of them and press upon their hearts, you know, what he wanted them to do? And then if that's the case, why did he choose Moses? Why did he choose Moses to spread the word for him? And he talks about, you know, his prophet in Numbers 12. So that becomes very interesting. That becomes very interesting when we talk about that man or woman of God whom God directly speaks to versus, you know, someone saying, well, how do I know this is of God or not? You know, well, let's go on. Let me go now. But read Numbers 12. Numbers 12, King James Version, and 1 through 10. I think you'll find it quite interesting. Ms. J, I want to bring you back in now, and I want to say, Ms. J, if you got a minister, whether it's a male or female minister, that is not living the life that you feel, that he or she should be living, but they claim to be a servant of God, do you, you know, when they come to you for your talents or gifts, do you feel you have to be obedient to that or not? Ms. J.
Okay, he's living his life with God, but if he's coming to me, ask me to share my gift, this is my gift. I'm sharing my spiritual gift. And, yes, I would, you know, I would do that. you know, because how he lives his life has nothing to do with me. So, yes, I will share my spiritual gift, yes.
All right. Lynn, I want to bring you in. We're pretty much the same thought. Should you judge that person who's delivering the word or just set that person aside and listen to the word and study for yourself? Lynn, tell me what your thoughts are.
If that person's asking me to participate, I would still participate outside of the fact that he or she may not be living their life to where they need to be, because what I'm ultimately doing, again, is not responding to them, I'm responding to God. So God has me speaking a word for someone to hear. And it could very well be for that person's own salvation or the salvation of those in attendance or, you know, under the sound of my voice. So I wouldn't let that person's life dictate whether or not I would respond to that offer in terms of coming out to speak. Now, and then I would have no place to judge them, because that's not what God put us here for. So for me to judge him, that's between him and God as far as how he's living or she's living, and for God to deal with that. But that his vertical relationship, me and his my relationship with man is my responsibility to man is what God tells me to do. So I wouldn't let that get in the way.
All right. So Lynn, while I've got you on here, let me ask you this question. And you know, if you want to pass, when you say the word pass, it will give us the answer to the question. But you're certainly entitled to pass, and we're not judging you here. But when you have, what would you say your gift or your talent is? Can you sing? Can you dance? Can you speak? Or all of the above? What's your talent gift?
I do sing. I do speak. Prayer. Hospitality. I think I have a list of gifts that God and talents that God has blessed me with.
Okay, so you're multiple talented and gifted. So, all right, so in that case, since you're so gifted, do you find that you have to be compensated to a certain amount for you to render, you know, your talent?
Me personally, no. I feel like when you're doing work for the Lord, compensation, not to say that if someone shouldn't be compensated, I mean, for me personally, I don't feel like compensation should be a thing, especially if you're doing it in a church setting or in a spiritual setting, because at the end of the day, it's not for the compensation. You're doing it for the edification of God's people. So,
all right, so if that's the case, Lynn, if, like, I have my Saturday shows every 2 months, and I say, well, Sister Lynn, would you sing for us for the next 3 months, every other Saturday, because you can sing? You just announced that that's one of your gifts. So it's a spiritual setting, and if you're available those times, and I'm booking you for 3 months, every other Saturday, what would you say to that, Sister Lynn?
It becomes, like you just said, if I'm available, but if I have another ministry that I'm involved in, or if I'm not available, then I wouldn't be able to do that. But as long as I'm available, God uses those who are willing and those who are available. So if
you see what you just said, God uses willing. And wait a minute, when you say available, Jonah wasn't available, or was he? The question becomes then, does God operate at our convenience? Does he?
By available, I mean if you avail yourself to God and to his use, but because God's a gentleman, so he's never going to force you. He's always going to ask, and he leaves it to you free will. So, or he leaves it to your free will. So it's never going to be a thing of a force, because God's not a God of force. That's why we
always... You say God asked us to do something?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? He asked?
Yeah. God is not a God of force.
Did he ask Jonah?
He does not force anything.
A message? Did he ask Jonah, or did he tell Jonah what he wanted him to do? We're going to ask you to stand by, Sister Lynn. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in. Sir Ben, do you believe that God asks us when he wants us to do something? Or he puts if he inquires or he asks something, you know, then it's like he's asking rhetorically, like he asked Moses, you know, what's that you got in your hand? When he already knew that. You know, he wanted him, for that, and that was for a purpose, to bring it to Moses' attention that something, use this. Those even those dry bones. So, Sir Ben, does he ask us or does he tell us? And he leaves it up to our free will. Did he ask Adam and Eve, or did he tell Adam, do not touch this tree? For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Don't even touch the tree. But he put it in the center of the garden. And he said, of all these other trees you can eat of, but do not touch this tree. For the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. So did he ask them, or did he tell them? Sir Ben.
Well, he instructed them what not to do. And in his instructions, there is a reason and a plan that's greater than what we understand. We cannot morphosize how God operates. God operates in a way that we can't even begin to understand. So we have to assume, we have to go with the fact that whatever he's telling us, that we must trust that he knows, because God is the Alpha and the Omega. That doesn't mean he's two separate, like he's the beginning and then the end. No, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is all in from beginning to the end and the middle and everywhere in between. He's not separate in how he does things. So he's operating in our past, our present, our future at the same time. So therefore, when God is instructing us to do something, he knows what's happening already and already to happen. So God did instruct Jonah to go down and do the work that he wanted him to do. Let's go back. God had set Jonah up in a way that he was able to minister to many. He had a great life. He was like the Pope there. He had influence. He was with kings. So he had a great setup. God had positioned him to do great things. And so that's what God does. When God positions us to do great things and he needs us to go somewhere else, our only answer should be, yes, Lord, I'm willing. That's what we should be able to do. Yes, Lord, I'm willing, because I understand what you've already done for me. So if you want me to go down to the worst of the worst, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm not concerned about my safety. I'm not concerned about my environment. I'm not concerned about what might happen to me. All I know is God asked me to do it. I trust God. Therefore, I'm going to do it. I don't need nobody's opinion. I don't need nobody's question. I don't need nobody's advice. I know what I know because he's already showed me and demonstrated to me how much he loves me. So therefore, I know he would never put me in a situation that will make me compromise who I am for him. And even if he did, I'm willing to do it, because I know we serve a mighty God, and he is far greater than our regular thoughts and our carnal thoughts and our morphic way of looking at life. There's no worries okay. about any of that.
Right. So when it comes to, I mean, it's almost like, so Sir Ben, while I've got you here, so does it ever be about us when it comes to God, our convenience, our feelings, our emotions, we're into our feelings right now? Is it really about us? And is it ever really about us? Or is it all about God? Which is it, in your opinion?
It is all about God. The us factor has created the chaos that we're in now. The us factor. It's about me. I mean, that's the chaos that we're living in now. The me factor. We have to know where we are with God. If God is asking us to do something, your willingness should be yes. Your understanding should be yes. We think that this little minister life that we have here right now on earth is important. Okay, I can agree with that. I think it's a great life. But I also understand that if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, my life here on earth will mimic that, which is what I'm going to be like in heaven. Because it says the things that we have here on earth, the way we live, it's going to mimic what we are doing in heaven. It's a mimic of who we are. So I understand how that me factor is going to be a big, big deal. But there's something important that we forget. We forget that's so, so important.
All right.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
The reason that God said not even the gates of hell will prevail, if you are there, he's going to be there with you. God's going to go down into hell, open up the gates, and get whatever he needs to get out of there to make sure that his people are taken care of. That's why, because Satan, Lucifer, is a being that was created to live forever. That's why he's going to have to put him in hell and let him stay there forever and ever and ever and burn forever, because he cannot die in the way that we think he can die. He is a forever being. And so we got to know that God has complete control over all things. That means that our lives is not about the beginning or the end. Our lives is about forever. He wants us to live forever. He wants us to live eternally. And how can that be when we have a time limit on what we can live here on earth?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. So if that's the case, let me bring in Miss J. I want to bring you in here, and I want to ask this question. So if it's all about God, so what happens when you got Sister Jones or Sister Garcia in the church? And Sister Garcia, let's just say hypothetically now, that you knew she was, you know, she's a deaconess, and you knew she liked your husband. Let's just say, for example. And now she's asking you, she humbles herself because she knows you can sing. Well, you want to, Sister J, you want to sing for us on the third week in the month? You know, you really don't like her, okay? Let's just keep it real. You don't like her because, she's always smiling with your man. So do you tell her yes? Sister J, be honest with us. You don't really like this woman, even though y'all sitting up in there in church, hearing the word.
You know, I put it this way. If that was true, now I don't like her, but to work for God, if that was truly my gift, I would. But Sister Garcia, whatever her name, she might be something like you. She, her ear for hearing musical notes and stuff is not that good. And she may ask me that because she heard me singing, knowing I can't really sing good. And she know I'm in a choir, but I don't really sing good. I'm all off key and everything, and she's doing that to make me mad. I know she is. So, and I know that that's not my spiritual gift. I know this. And, of course, I'm going to say no to her. And I'm not saying no to God, because that's not the gift that God gave me. Sister Garcia is just trying to be mean, and she knows that that's not my gift. So,
all right. So let me give you another now. So the pastor comes to you, and he heard you hit a note, and because he was sitting right up under you, and he heard this note, and he looked up and he saw it was you. So now he says, Sister J, I want you to just sing that one verse that you sang that really touched my heart for the message I wanted to deliver. Would you do that on the third weekend? What do you say to that pastor, Sister J?
You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. For the pastor, right before I sing that verse, I'm going to tell the congregation that I can't sing, but my pastor wanted me to sing this to y'all because he felt it would help somebody and it would help him. So here we go. And I do that one verse.
So, Ms. J, let me ask you this.
Have a problem. Yeah.
Jay, is that hypocritical? Sister Garcia asked you, and you, because you got this, you're in your feelings, then you
she
tell her
mean.
No, because the pastor asked you. You tell him yes. So why can't
right.
you she tell a
being
church?
Mean. She keeps the drum up in the church, and I don't have time for that. So that's why I said no to her, you know, because
okay.
I'm for real. I'm here trying to, you know, be in the spirit and not keep up drama. And Sister Garcia, and it's obvious that that's what she's doing. Because the pastor said that, you know, I just got a good feeling about that, the way you sing it. And maybe that little note put the Holy Ghost in him. I don't know. So, of course, you know, my pastor might get the Holy Ghost from my off-key note. You know, I don't know.
So why can't you do the same thing with Sister Garcia? You say she's going to keep drumming.
No, Sister Garcia, she about, you know, she's about nothing. Praise the
okay.
Lord. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Oh, my goodness. If you're just joining us, when asked to participate in a spiritual program, are you saying no to God with your talents or gifts? And I want to take a pause for a moment. We were talking about Adam and Eve earlier. We've got an upcoming show. You don't want to miss this one here. You got to stay tuned every week so you'll know when this show is coming, because this is a deep topic that's coming in the very near future. Do you, and the topic is centered around, do you think the woman, Eve, do you think the woman, Eve, would have eaten the forbidden fruit if the man, Adam, gave it to her in the Garden of Eden? You know, I mean, that's what the show is. It's going to center around that. Do you think that had it been Adam that touched that tree, that fruit, whatever the fruit was, and gave it to Eve, knowing God's instructions, do you think the woman would have eaten that because the man ate it? Let me go with Lynn. Let me ask you this, and let's get a thought. We're going to get a couple of thoughts on this one here. Lynn, and I know you can't speak for Eve, you know, but the question is, Lynn, God gave you instructions, and no preconceived thoughts. Now, we know, you know, we've been reading the Bible, and we know don't touch it now for certain. But, and this may be difficult to answer, and I'm not trying to put preconceived thoughts in your mind. Do you think that a woman would have done what Adam did, you know, had the woman, you know, had the woman, had Adam partaken of that fruit and then gave it to a woman? This is going to be your answer, whatever, however you answer this, is going to be so deep that it can certainly interrupt the world, because this radio broadcast is heard internationally. And you're going to have everybody thinking, Lynn, that's a lot of pressure. What do you think?
and
the world
right.
is waiting for your response.
I can't answer for Eve, but my, just going by history and what we know, if she listened to the serpent, she could have listened to Adam easily enough as well.
So you think a woman would have done that?
I think
Lynn?
Eve have, yes, can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you now.
Hello? Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
can you
I
hear?
Think Eve, yes, yes. I think Eve, the same way she listened to the serpent, she could have very well have listened to her husband in that same regard.
But remember that we're reversing the situation. So it would have been Adam who had been beguiled by the serpent. So, and Eve came along. Because the Bible doesn't say that Adam was beguiled by the serpent. So in this case,
right.
we read it, that Adam was beguiled by the serpent, and he took the fruit and did give it to his wife, Eve. Do you think that a woman would have partaken that, knowing the instructions? Would a woman have taken that? We're going to actually stand by Lynn. Let me bring in Sister Marver. Sister Marver, let me bring you in here. Sister Marver, in your opinion, do you think a woman would have partaken of that fruit? Just quickly here.
In the spirit of woman, we probably would say, excuse me, but didn't God say not to do that? What are you trying to do? No.
So you don't think a woman. Miss J, let me bring you in.
I think
you should
put it back.
Miss J,
well,
let me. B. Marie, let me go to you first. B. Marie, are you there? B. Marie, perhaps you're on mute.
No,
right, Miss J, let me
here.
Bring you
Hello.
In. Hey, B.
Well,
Marie.
My...
Let me go to B. Marie first, then we'll come to you, Miss J, and then we're going to continue with tonight's broadcast. I just want to put a filler out there. This is a filler. But go
mm-hmm.
ahead. B. Marie, the question is for
oh.
you. You're listening
yes.
live to the Jesse Walker Show.
Okay, so did he have an opinion? I don't know what she would do.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's an honest answer. Ms. J, let me go to you. Do you think that a woman would have done what Adam did, knowing that he was already in trouble with God? Do you think a woman would have done that, Ms. J?
Now, I can't think about a woman back in that time as being Eve, but I'm thinking a woman in the 21st century, or a woman in my age range thinking, you know. And since we are all, to me, I feel more in touch with religion than men, I would say no, she would not have eaten it.
Mm. So what you're saying is it's the man's fault. Is that what you're saying, Ms. Jane?
If it was reversed like that now, but, you know, yeah, it would have been his fault if it was reversed.
No, I mean, okay. All right, we got it. Okay, so I don't mean to get on this show tonight, but see, you start stuff by saying certain things because now, if that's the case, so was it Eve's fault that the world is in the condition it's in because of Eve? Was it Eve's fault?
You know, with us women, we always say, doggone it, Eve, because we have, you know, we go through a lot as women. And that's
uh-huh.
something that we say all the time, you know. You know, if it weren't for Eve, you know, we have to bear the children and the pain and all this other stuff that we go through. So, you know, we always say that Eve started all of this.
You're one of the first of probably three women I've ever heard to say that. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, Lynn, let me ask you, was it Eve's fault that we're in all this mess? It's not the man's fault?
I think it was Adam's fault because if Eve was
the
guy,
Adam
was not. God could have given him another wife if he had not fallen because God gave him dominion. So, had he not fallen, I think there would have been a different outcome. The world would not be in the situation that it was in. But she obviously
really?
Was the first one to fall, unfortunately. but if he had not fallen, no, we would not be here.
Can I just stand by? Sir Ben, let's bring you in. Sir Ben, are you hearing what I'm hearing?
I am.
Yeah, so it's interesting. And like I said earlier, it's rare. This is my entire lifetime. Ms. J, what she presented tonight was probably the third time I've ever heard that a woman, you know, contributed to Eve. Every woman I've ever known over the history of my lifespan. Go ahead. Say it. Sir Ben.
Oh, my God. I almost went into somebody else's car.
All right. We're getting some technical difficulties on his end. Let me go in now and bring in B. Marie, as we look at this, now, let's go back to our original topic for tonight, our talents and our gifts. And we do have only about 4 or 5 minutes before we start to close tonight's broadcast. And as we look at this here, when asked to participate, are you saying no to God with your talents or your gifts? And I want to go to B. Marie now and say, what I've heard what some of us have said tonight, what's the best way? I mean, what can we take from this? What can you take from this and maybe share with the rest of us? If somebody asks you to do something and you have that talent, in your opinion, B. Marie, you know, what should we take from this tonight, if anything?
Well, I feel that if we are available and we can do certain things and we can volunteer our time to do it, I'm still going to say this. Being the person that has been it, I've been in part of my ministry for I've been in my church for 13 years, and you don't hear too often, you know, people being at church that long, especially our generation. And I've been singing on my worship team for 13 years. And, you know, I use my gifts and I use my talents, and I feel like, you know, we need to use them somewhere. Can we do everything? We can't do everything, but God does require us to do the things that he's placed in our heart to do, and we have to do something with what he's given us. So I say whatever gift you have, whatever it is that he's given to you, work on it, perfect it, continue to grow in it, and be able – and give it to the people around you. Because when we do that, we're able to bless other people. God doesn't come down himself. He uses us. So when we use our gifts and we use the things that God has given us, he gets the glory for it.
All right, okay. In about 4 minutes, B. Marie, will you close us out in about 4 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So just before we close out, let me go to Ms. J, let me ask you, what could be one approach if someone asks you to participate using your gifts or your talents for the Lord? What could be one approach if it's not Sister Garcia? Okay.
If it's something that my heart is in and I understand why she's asking me, I will say right away, yes. You know, if I didn't, you know, when they had nothing pressing. But if I didn't quite understand and my heart wasn't in it, I'd still do what I said. Let me get back with you. And I would give them a time frame, pray on it. And because, see, they might not really know that it's my true gift. And I have to see. But, you know, if it's a true gift, I would use it wholeheartedly. And if my heart was in it, it'd be a yes right then.
Okay. Sir Ben, let me bring you in and ask the question, should we always be looking to get paid when somebody asks us to do something for the Lord? Oh, let me, wait a minute, I think we may have him on mute. Sir Ben, are you? Sir, I'm sorry, Sir Ben, we didn't get your opening. What did you say now?
So, I believe
should we
that
always,
when you're doing
work, always look to get paid. It's like, okay, you asked me to, if someone asked me to sing, and if it's the, I mean, people tend to, for some reason, if the pastor asks, then people are willing to do it. But if the church secretary or the, you know, somebody else who's not the pastor asks you to do something, we're reluctant to do that. So this is a twofold question. One is, why do we have to discriminate on who's at, it depends on who's asking us, you know? And then secondly, if you're asked outside your church, should we always have an expectation to get paid?
The answer to that question is no. But I will say this in defense. If there is a culture of paying people, the musicians, whomever, I think that everybody should be paid. I've seen in situations where only a certain set of people are paid and other people are not, but they work and they perform their duties just as diligent as everyone else. So I'm gonna err on the side of saying, if you're paying people in church to do ministry, whatever it may be, I suggest that you pay everybody. Everybody needs to be blessed. It says, bring you therefore into the storehouse. The storehouse is where you come to get meat. So everybody should be getting meat. Now, I don't operate like that. I'm a bond servant. That means that I'm working strictly for him. And in that case, we shouldn't have the idealistic ideal that we are only there for everybody, for only for the monetary part of it. That's what he gives us 6 days a week that we can operate in, our jobs and our abilities. But if you come to church with the ability thinking that that is your job, then I think that in a way you may have missed the point of what he was supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be servants to him and not
right.
in service
and
for him.
Here, if you can answer this one here quickly now because we're running out of time. So then you're saying that the deacon needs to get paid and the deaconess, everybody needs to get paid, everybody includes them.
I believe they're doing a great service. If they're doing a service, keeping the church clean, whatever, if that is their will, why not? Why not pay them? That is them
okay.
giving of themselves, so why not?
We're going to ask you to all to stand by because we're running out of time. Listen, B. Marie, we're going to bring you in now. And, you know, I think that the church program is basically volunteer. I do understand that the minister gets paid, certain musicians, and the secretary, the people who are probably the, I mean, the rest, a lot of other people are coming there to volunteer their services for the Lord. Those other capacities, I believe it becomes their job. That's the secretary's job. That's the minister's job. And the minister can't operate. And there are some churches where ministers don't work outside of that ministry. So it's understandable that they do have to have their livelihood sustained as well. Be Marie, on that note, close it out.
All right. So tonight's topic, we're talking about our gifts and talents. And I believe that everything that we do should be unto the Lord and do it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We're to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. So So I think we have to go back to loving God. And we love the Lord, and we serve him with everything that we have. I really, truly believe he gets the glory for it. And even in times where we may be tired, times where we're going through certain things, there are just some moments that he's going to call us to press and to push through those emotions, to push through those situations. And I've seen it even in my own life when the times where I've been really tired, at times where I just couldn't push through anymore, where I did, and I saw breakthrough, and I saw him do things that I never thought he could do in that situation when I opened up myself and gave my talents or gifts to it. I still believe that it's important for us to be respectful when someone comes to us and asks us, you know, if we have to think about it, pray about it, sure. But so there's a professional side to be mindful, to be, you know, thoughtful to the people who are asking us, and there's a spiritual side where we make sure that we're not closing our gifts off to the world, because we only have this one life to do what he's placed us here to do. So we have to do it. Amen.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for tuning in to tonight's broadcast. We certainly do a thank you all. Those of you all we weren't able to get through, we ask that you call in early enough to get into the queue. We certainly do appreciate your time that you come and spend with us on these Friday nights. Join us back here next Friday night. Of course, you can join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. And, of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here next Friday, God willing. And then that will be followed by next Saturday morning, I believe is our International Divine Intervention Day, or it's our Miracle Prayer Day. All right, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Dr. Walker. Great show as usual. Thank you all. God bless you all. Keep safe. And keep well. Have a great night.